Blog Talk Radio.
Several days now. We've had people from South Carolina, Australia, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Idaho, Washington. Can't remember everybody. Anyway, we're going to be talking to a number of these people that will be here for the rest of the retreat through at least Sunday, some of them, and then some beyond that. And we're talking about the kingdom. We're talking about the structure of the church established by Christ. The early church had to be the entire social welfare system of everyone who accepted the baptism of Christ, both in Judea and then when they went out into other nations around the world. They had been recognized as a government, as with Jesus as the king, by Rome. They had done this with a proclamation nailed to the cross and sealed in the blood of Christ that this king who came to set men free, was the king of an actual government. That government was different than the other governments that were around about them because it operated by faith, hope, and charity and what Paul calls the perfect law of liberty. In other words, the government was supported by free will offerings. It did much of the same things that other governments did, but it did it by this voluntarism in congregations of tens, hundreds, and thousands, which we see all over Europe for the next 1,000 years. These congregations gathered together and took care of their social welfare needs. If there was anybody who was hungry or starving because of circumstances beyond their control, they helped them. They often helped people even who had made errors and foolish mistakes, but their purpose of their charity was to strengthen the poor. And this has been a topic of the retreat from day one, quoting from the book Higher Liberty, which is simply quoting an Australian minister referring to the fact that charity is good and socialism is bad. Charity helps the poor, while socialism makes the poor helpless. So the charity that is in the church is not to make the people helpless, but to make them more dependent upon this idea of taking care of one another. We had a visitor from the local area who also came in and sat in on one of our meetings, and he pointed out that he had a jacket that he had received from the government for free. He didn't really need a jacket from the government or anyone else because he had several jackets of his own. And he said he was convicted by one of the talks that we had that this is one of the problems in America, is that people are taking things from the government they could actually provide for themselves. And, of course, that's the case in many people, although many people are not convicted by that. So he actually offered to give away one of his coats if anybody in this local community church that we were setting up here in a larger community, because we have people from so many other places. Some of these men who came from far away are contact ministers in their own community. So we actually have a number of guests that we're going to be letting you hear from. The first one will be Rick from Vail, who is the minister at his church at Cottonwood. He was one of the early arrivers, has been a part of the workings of our search to return to the ways of Christ for quite some time. He and his wife, Ellen, were out here helping with a lot of the work that's required to put on a retreat. And so we've asked him to come in and say a few words, what he's discovering at the retreat, what he thinks about this idea of the gospel of the kingdom, whatever he wishes to share with you. So I want to turn the mic over to him, and he'll have a few things to say. Afterwards, we'll see you on First Amendment Radio right after this show. And on First Amendment, we will be having other guests from Mark from Australia and a number of other people if they eventually show up. So at this early hour with all these late night campfire talks at the retreat at Summer Lake here. But anyway, without wasting a lot of more time and giving Rick a chance to say a few things, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Rick. Here he is. Rick.
Good morning, everyone, and Brother Gregory especially. I guess I just really want to share with everyone how exciting it's been to be here at the Summer Lake Retreat. And for me, it's a second time. We came for the first time last year, and it's pretty obvious this year already there are quite a few more people than last year. And one of the great exciting things that I've found with everyone who has come is the excitement everyone has in just seeking the kingdom and wanting to know how that operates and linking up with everyone. And I guess my first impression was everyone is just kind of pretty much on the same page. It's been really refreshing to meet people that some of these folks I have not even met through the email, some I have, some I've spoken with, but we all seem to connect on the same level. We all seem to have the same goals, the same desires, and that's just really refreshing. It's something that's kind of scarce out there in the world, I guess, if you will. And boy, last night we had a really good example of how the kingdom, people coming together and interacting together, the various skills that everyone has, and pooling them together to accomplish the needs of the time. And last night's dinner meal was a good example. We have a man here, a great, great fellow from Australia, who's a professional cook, used to have his own restaurant, and boy, he jumped in there and kind of took charge, and everyone donated the food that they had. Everyone worked together, and we prepared a meal here that was pretty unbelievable. I mean, we could have fed nearly twice as many people as we actually have here. And boy, it seemed like in very short order, zip, bang, boom, everything was coordinated. People jumped in, volunteered, brought what they had, and we put together just this fantastic meal. So to me, watching that happen was just really touched my heart and showed me that how people, when there's a need, they can and are willing to come together. And that's the type of people who have committed to this retreat. Many people, as Brother Gregory has said, they've come from far, far away, as far as Australia. So it took a great commitment for them, and actually a great financial cost for everyone, too. But they committed to this, and they prioritized, and they're here. And everyone, there's a lot of people here that I met and knew from last year. And so that's like meeting old friends again. But even the new people that I've not known, it's the same spirit. You just have this same feeling that they're a long-lost friend, and you're just happy to be reunited. And it's that spirit, it's that common spirit that binds us together, that draws us together. And it's just been really, really exciting. I just really want to emphasize for anyone who was unable to make it this year, boy, if you can, for next year's, try to come, because it is really a great experience. We're having a lot of great talks. Everyone opens up and shares. And I'm just really happy to be here and really pleased to be part of the kingdom actually operating and being part of that and watching it as people come together and work in unity. And just the peace and the spirit that's here is just so fantastic. Brother Gregory?
Well, that's one of the individuals we have here that has been learning about his church for a long time, studying on his own, studying the materials that we have to offer. And this is actually one of the more positive meetings. We didn't have as many as we've had in some times past, but the great distances, the economy today made it difficult. And also a number of the people that have come are actually representing other people, which means that everybody doesn't have to come, but those who can't come, they can help make sure that someone from their local area has come all the way here, and then they'll take back the information. There was a great deal of new material. Actually, it's not that new, but it's new to being released by us to a more general public, but that public is the public of the church. That's the people who have actually become involved. We have taken a new tack with this Living Network, which you can join at hisholychurch.org by going up and clicking on the little guy with the net and joining part of the, becoming part of the network in your local areas. And then you pick contact ministers or ministers of record, and they help link you up with other people of like mind that can actually care about your needs as much as you care about their needs, which means the people that naturally come into the network are people who are actually reaching out, not simply from a selfish point of view, but from the point of view of actually helping other people. That's such a unique idea in this day and age of selfishness and commercialism that we need to emphasize that need and that reality so that we become truly followers of Christ, because that's what Christ was teaching. That's what the early church was not only teaching, but doing. We have a tendency today to think that the modern church is just someplace you go and listen to somebody else talk about the kingdom. And they have become often more social clubs than actual doers of the word. And Christ was very specific about the fact that you had to become doers of the word and not hearers only. And this is what is the purpose of the retreat, to meet people, to connect with people. They're already, many of these people are connecting with local congregations in their own community and helping link people up, helping people learn the ways of the kingdom, the ways of Christ, the ways of Paul that he calls the perfect law of liberty. And now they've come here to kind of get a refresher course and actually a more in-depth course as to what the kingdom is all about. It's about each man helping cover the needs and the concerns of every other man as much as he is interested in protecting his own self. And that is a concept that must be learned, must be implemented if you are going to have a free society. You cannot have a free society of people who do not care about other people in the society. It just simply won't work. The socialist society that we've seen growing up in America over the last 100 years, starting with, of course, public schools and public charity and then socialism as we see today, now that socialism has moved from old age and infirmities to just a general medical coverage, which all was dreamed about by men like FDR, who wanted cradle-to-grave care for the people, but he wanted it at the expense of the people. In other words, compelled offerings, compelled taxes, which people have been volunteered into, and now they owe that. And they not only owe it, but they owe it to a government that is bankrupt. So they themselves, which is published on TV and newspapers, they themselves owe thousands upon thousands of dollars because they prayed to these men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. Christ wants you to pray to our Father in heaven, and through a church established in faith, hope, and charity, take care of those needs of society. We see elements of that in societies like the Amish. They don't need insurance on their houses because they have each other. They do have some sort of insurance that their people pay in, but they almost always have a surplus in taking care of one another because they have developed that rugged individualism, but yet they have not only learned to stand alone, but they have learned to stand alone together. And that is what the early church learned. That is the what provided the freedom and liberty, because people walked in the ways of Christ. And today, the churches, we had a pastor, a local pastor, who also came to the meeting. He was, or at least one of the meetings. There's just meetings every day. We're going to have a meeting immediately after First Amendment Radio, where we're going to go and look and talk about some of the plans we have for expanding the retreat ground and making it a viable option. It will become the insurance of the people who seek the kingdom and the ways of the kingdom, and contribute to the church by contributing to one another and helping one another and providing that coverture to one another. And we hope to duplicate this in as many areas as we possibly can. And in order to do that, we are looking for souls who do what they say. We know that Jesus says, not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who doeth the will of the Father. Well, there is nothing more important in doing the will of the Father than keeping your word. We are looking for those people who bear the fruit, who say, yes, I will do this. They volunteer, and they actually do what they say. In this day and age, that's often a serious problem with people in America and all over the world, is that they make commitments and don't stick to them. The high rate of divorce is just an example. The people who volunteer but then don't actually show up. This was a very important part of Christ's gospel, where he talks about those who say they're going to come, but, oh, first they got to do this. Or they're going to come and to the feast, but first they got to do that. And the reality is that Christ is looking for those who make a commitment and make their yeses yes. Because in a society where you are free to choose, that is the only way things will get done, is with people who actually do what they say they're going to do. In the other societies that were round about Christianity, around about early Israel, they told the people what they were going to do, and they made sure the people did it, or they punished the people. This is a very simple concept, but it is a very distinctive dividing line between what the early church was, between what early Israel was, and what they became. And the reason why is that people often stray from the ways of God, and they become entangled again in the world by application and prayer to those benefactors who exercise authority. So in order to change the direction of the world, we must change our own personal direction. We must turn around and go another way. We've got 10 minutes left of this program, and we've got somebody else. We got Hadar from Minnesota, and we'll let him speak a few minutes. We'll probably have him also in the next show if they're coming in here, trickling into the studio one at a time. And so we'll let Hadar say what he thinks and what he feels about the retreat, about the direction of this gospel, and what has been accomplished by him coming all the way out here from the state of Minnesota. He doesn't really sound like somebody from Minnesota, but he's very outspoken. So we'll let him take over till the rest of the show, and then we'll go on to First Amendment Radio. Here's Hadar.
Well, yeah, it's Gregory, it's been a major experience in ways that weren't always apparently obvious. People have come from all over. I'm sure you know that's been said. And you know, we've got people from Australia, we've got people from everywhere, and representing all kinds of walks of life. And you know, it's amazing. Like, you know, right from the very beginning, people were getting into the meat of things. Right from the very beginning, there was a desire to find out who people were not from what you do and where do you live, as much as why are you here, and what are you after? What are you seeking? What is purpose? And that came in some casual conversation, but also came in some very deep conversation, and you just you start to see the hearts of people being drawn to what Christ has been laying out. I see people that are talking about society, and society, I think, in a way that most have not heard. Even those that are in the church haven't heard society like this. They haven't been taught faith, hope, and charity in the way from Scripture that Scripture teaches it. This is not a new idea. This is not a new thought. And here are these things that are so often accepted, I guess, is in the church, and yet here are people who have been around that and are realizing through the reading and through digging into the Scripture, really diligently seeking the Word and for truth, and they're realizing right here, right in front of them, has been a blueprint for how society is supposed to live, and yet that's not taught. And I think there's just an excitement with people here about what that really means. And you know, it's right there in Scripture. This is not like we got eight other handbooks, and we're looking at that. We're looking right at that and saying, this is what God wants, and this is how we're supposed to live. And it remaps the face of everything. And so you see the excitement of that, and you see that people from different walks coming with different skills, different thoughts and so forth, and sitting down at the same table and excited about Jesus in that way. And I see friendships being built here. There's a bunch of people that I've met here that I either some of them I've talked with on the phone, some of them I've interacted with in email and so forth like that. Others I've heard on different broadcasts and so forth, and there were many that I never had any notice about, except that I knew that they were maybe part of the network, and we're getting to catch up on things and build. You could tell relationships. A lot of these relationships are going to be a lifelong things. They're going to be ongoing things, and you also get a sense that there's a purpose. In the connecting, and a lot of people are noticing that purpose stuff. So, coming out here was really interesting. You see the setup. We've got being able to spend our nights in a yurt, and I've seen yurts before, but these are just exceptional dwellings. And we've got a stove in our yurt, and it shoots up through the center, and it stays nice and warm. And you know, we're out here in fresh air, and I mean, it is clear as far as you can see. Some really unique things, looking at Summer Lake, and Summer Lake's pretty low right now, and seeing the alkaline, it's an alkaline lake, and seeing that is a sight to behold. And so many people are just, I mean, there are those that have taken, I think that's a common thing, that many people have really stretched to be here, and not knowing exactly, in some cases, what they were supposed to be here for entirely. There was hopes and expectations and thoughts, but now they're looking at this and they're going, wow, they're starting to see the fullness of that more and more as each day goes by. We're sitting together in this great big yurt. I believe they said it's 24 feet. And the yurt, the big meeting yurt,
yeah,
I think, 24 feet. And, and to have us all sitting around the outside perimeter in there in chairs and being able to listen to Brother Gregory and interact and talk about the meatier things, the weightier things of what God is expecting out of his people. And that is, you know, you'd think that shouldn't be revelation. It shouldn't be revelation. And you know, a lot of the parts aren't revelation, but the connecting of those parts really begins to see what that revelation is. I think a lot of people think they know what coveting is. And yet I tell you, I guarantee you, if you were here, you would learn that coveting is not it's not that it's not what you think it is. You just haven't realized how many places coveting goes on, and you've been able to see it as something else. And in fact, many times you've been told it's part of the necessary process and it's good.
Evil good.
Yeah. And they're calling good evil and evil good. And you're seeing it right there, you know, in your presence. And that, you know, that does not take you back to reading the scriptures. And Jesus says, and this has been fulfilled in your presence. We're seeing God's word fulfilled in our lives, always in our presence. But there are things, moments like that, and you see lights go on and eyes widen, and they're going, wow, is that why it connects that way? Is that why it bothered me before? And you know, I don't think that we needed to necessarily come here for that to happen, but we needed to come together. And that's a thing that's important. And Paul talks about suffering not for the fellowship to come together, this idea of gathering together as the saints. It is necessary. And when we come together, are we on God's purpose, or have we put ourselves into some pre-programmed template that some, you know, maybe some other well-meaning people put together, but really has moved past where God wants? And we need to come back to our first love, Jesus says. Come back to the old paths and be reestablished in what Christ has done, and depart from the ways of iniquity. That probably sounds like a sermon. It's not meant to. It's just a realization, I think, that everybody's talking about. That revelation of being, seeing that and hearing that in people's hearts, that's life-changing.
Anyway, we'll see you on First Amendment Radio in a few minutes. We wish you all were here, and so we've given you a little glimpse. And until we meet again next week, may peace be with you, and God walk with you also. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.